Welcome to The Next Step, WHIM's apologetics show that profiles the differences between biblical Christianity and pseudo-Christian religions. Many people in these religions have a zeal for God, but need to take the next step, faith in Christ alone. And now, live, here are your hosts, Dave Mitchell and Michael Wilder.
Thank you, Randy Brown. Good afternoon, everybody. Hot day. It's summer already here in the Magic City, and mostly across the nation. We're starting to see the 90s around here, like a lot of folks are. Not too tropical, I'm afraid. But we're glad to have you in with us on The Next Step. And Michael is not with us this week. Michael is on his way to Utah, where he's going to be appearing with our house band here on The Next Step, the Haddams Road Band. And they'll be appearing in Utah and also in southern Idaho. And Michael will also be hooking up with us about a week from Saturday. We'll be in Manti, Utah, where I'm going to be for the next 2 weeks. In fact, the Next Step team, which is basically myself and my wife, Claudia, we're going to be there to witness in the streets to thousands, tens of thousands of Mormons who come out to the Mormon Miracle Pageant. And we do this annually. They do it annually. And we try to get out in the streets and dialogue with them. And we're going to be talking with a fellow that is out in the streets every year doing that, is an old veteran at that. And he joins us right now from West Valley City, Utah, which is a suburb of Salt Lake. And we say good afternoon to Rob Savolka. How you doing, Rob?
Well, I'm doing well, Dave. Technically, I'm in West Jordan, right next door to West Valley City.
Okay, well, I'm a little weak on my Salt Lake County geography, but we'll leave it at that. Rob is an old hand on this program. I think this is his third visit to The Next Step, and we are very good friends with Rob, and look forward to seeing him every year in Utah when we are out in the streets in Manti. This is something that, like I say, I do 2 weeks out of the year, and without these 2 weeks, it's the highlight of my year. Without these 2 weeks, the other 50 just don't mean much. So, Rob, tell us, what is Manti all about? Why do people, Christians, go from all over the country to get out in the streets and talk to Mormons?
Well, for those of you who don't know, Manti is a literal town. If you look on the map of Utah, it's right in the center of Utah. And we have Christians, probably hundreds of Christians, probably about 200-300 Christians that'll come out for about a week and a half to come and evangelize Mormons. They come from all over the state, even some from outside of the state, to watch this play performance that they put on Thursday, Friday, Saturday. They take off Sunday for church day, and then they take off Monday for family home evening, and then they'll kick it up again on Tuesday, and it'll run through the following Saturday. So it'll go till June 30th, and it's starting up this Thursday night. And they open up the gates around this temple that sits on this little bluff in Manti, and they have this grassy area that goes down from the temple, and it's just filled with chairs on the bottom. But on the hill itself, they have this play performance they put on when the sun goes down. They'll open up the gates about 6 o'clock at night, and the Christians will be out there waiting for them, and we'll be passing out tracts. We'll be preaching, we'll be dialoguing with these people, we'll be passing out DVDs, we'll be praying together, people will be singing Christian music out there. So it's kind of a carnival atmosphere, and it's also a great time for Christian camaraderie. We get, like I said, Christians from all over the place that come out there, people that I don't see since last year at this time, and we get out there and we have time of fellowship throughout the day. During the morning at the Ephraim Church of the Bible, we'll have the training time. I'm going to be speaking Friday morning down there, and so we'll have training on different ways of approaching Mormonism and dialoguing with Mormons, and we'll have singing. We'll have prayer together, and then we have fellowship throughout the day. And it's just, you've been there before, Dave. Mm-hmm. And it's just a great, great time to do evangelism to the Mormon people in the center of the state of Utah. And so I invite anybody else. We got next week, all next week. If you're interested in coming, get on the plane and come on out. We'd love to have you. And a lot of people stay, they'll put up tents right in the center of the town of Manti. And I think they charge $5 a night to stay in this little, in your tent there in the public park. And then we have fellowship there in the park, and we get a witness to Mormons in the park as well. So please come on out. If you're at all interested, you can contact me, contact Dave. We'd love to have you out and come evangelize for Christ out there.
Well, the question I'm going to ask you, Rob, is the question that everybody asks us here in South Florida as we do the Next Step program. Why do we talk to the Mormons about this? Why are we trying to, what are we trying to convince them of? They say they're Christians just like we are, and I get this all the time. Why are you picking on the Mormons? So, Rob, tell us, why are we picking on the Mormons?
Yeah, I just had a guy I talked to last Thursday when I was out in front of the Temple Square in downtown Salt Lake City, and he pointed to his friend's badge, who was a tour guide there at Temple Square, and said, look, it's called the Church of Jesus Christ, and it's all in big letters there, Jesus Christ. And so, of course, we're Christians. We follow Jesus Christ. And I just simply told the guy, which Jesus? And he said, Jesus Christ. I said, which Jesus? He said, Jesus Christ. There's only one. I said, well, not according to Jesus himself. He said in Matthew 24:24, that in the last days, false Christs would come and false prophets would come. They deceive many. Well, if the Mormon church doesn't have a false Christ, I don't know who does. Okay? Mormons teach that Jesus is our elder brother in the pre-earth life, that Jesus was born of heavenly parents, and that Lucifer was among these children of heavenly parents. So Lucifer and all his helpers, Jesus, we're all younger brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ. What that means is that Jesus didn't create literally all things outside his own being. See, Mormons had a view of God in which he's a man like you and I who had to bow down and follow some other God before him before he could become a God for us. And if we do everything the Mormon church requires of us, tithe, get baptized, keep their health code, the word of wisdom, go through the temple, wear your temple underwear all the time, learn the secret handshakes and passwords in the temple ceremony, do all this stuff, then you can be worthy enough to become a god yourself of your own world. You can create a little world someday, fill that up with your spouse, with all your own spirit kids, and guess what? These spirit kids are going to bow down and worship you to the exclusion of the God of this world. Now, Christians out there, when you hear this, you ought to start having flags go up, okay, because this is really what Mormonism's all about. And they're not going to tell you this up front. When they come to your doors, they're going to give you a very innocuous view of their church.
Kind of like they're trying to hide things from you.
Yeah, and so we like to be up front with people, and we like to tell people what they're really getting into outside the Salt Lake Temple and let people know, because buyer beware. There's a lot going in to Mormonism that the person who just joins just doesn't know about. And so we have a responsibility as followers of Christ to warn people of false Christs, of false prophets who come in the last days to deceive many. And that's our job. And our job is to try to convert these people. Just last night, right before I went to bed, I got this email from somebody that saw me down at the Mesa, Arizona Easter pageant carrying my big sign that says MormonInfo.org, JosephLie.com. And this guy looked up the site, and he said he got out of Mormonism, went into atheism for a little bit, but now he's starting to come out, and he wants to follow Christ now. And so I see this again and again, that people are coming out, they're coming to Christ, and the internet is helping quite a bit, and that's why I like to carry a big sign that has my website on it. So we want to get out there, we want to get as many Christians as we can, and we want to give the good news to these Mormon people, because these Mormon people are in bondage. Utah is number one in all the states in antidepressant use. And there's a reason for that. And the reason is because they keep putting this worthiness trip on their people, that they got to perform, that they just don't have to try. They got to be perfect. They got to be worthy. And if they don't do it, there's no hope for them to be in the highest kingdom, the celestial kingdom, with their family members, and to go on to be sealed with their spouse for time and all eternity, so that they can go on and create their own worlds and fill that up with people who will worship them. That's what Mormonism is all about. So even though they use the same terms that we do, God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, salvation, gospel, they take those terms and, just like all the other cults do, they redefine them. They tweak them around to fit their own particular theology that ultimately comes from Satan himself. And we love these Mormon people. We think they're getting ripped off by Satan, that what they're believing in is evil. But we still love them. Look, my family, my in-laws are all LDS. And I love my in-laws. I want to see them saved. I want to see them in the kingdom someday. But if they keep following their gospel, their God, they're going to follow that all the way to hell. And somebody has got to warn them before it's too late. And you people down there in Florida, you need to wake up to this, because Mormons are coming, and they're building a temple right down by you guys, and they're growing faster in the South than they are anywhere else in the United States. And the reason for that, I think, is because they look very much like you Southern Baptists down there, especially your traditional Southern Baptist churches, where you're more into dressing up on Sundays and having the hymns. And so it looks, on the surface, if you're not paying attention, like there's not much difference here. And so you slowly get sucked into it. You have people that love bomb you, come alongside you, and love you into their cult, is what happens. And then you start going through the temple and you find out, man, this is really quite different from what I signed up for. Right? And you can watch all this online. They've got a buddy of mine took a hidden camera video of what goes on in the temple ceremonies now. And you can watch all this. And you ask yourself, does this look anything like Christianity? I submit to you, it looks more like masonry. It's a masonry ripoff, because Joseph Smith was a Mason himself. All the early leaders of the Mormon Church were Masons. And right after Joseph Smith became Mason, he started up the temple ceremony. And he ripped a lot of stuff off of masonry. And that's what's incorporated in the Mormon temple, and it's being passed off as this is what's really was going on in the Old Testament in Solomon's temple. Well, I don't have any good reason to buy that.
Well, not according to the description of Solomon's temple over and over again in various places in the Old Testament.
That's right. It contradicts what goes on in there. But Mormons have this view of Scripture in which Scripture is devalued, in which Scripture has lost all these plain and precious truths over the years. And that's what all the cults have to do. They have to denigrate God's Word in order to make their own Word, their latter-day revelation, the trump card. And so whatever that says, and you know that's true on the basis, ultimately, of the way you feel. And so Mormons will encourage you to just read over the Book of Mormon, sincerely pray about it, and God will tell you, by the power of the Holy Ghost, i.e., a burning in your bosom, that this is really true. And even if it's, you know, even if it's got problems and stuff, you don't worry about it, because you'll be happy. Right? And the Mormons will pass this off as they're happy people, their families work. The fact of the matter is they got problems just like everybody else. When you start looking deeper, they've got, like I mentioned, the depression is quite prevalent. They've got suicide problems up here. They've got all sorts of problems. I won't bother you with
Well, I'll tell you what. We're gonna take a little break here, Rob, and be right back in just a moment after a word from our sponsor, the Edge Water Hotel. And when we come back, I want to talk to Rob about his sign that he holds up in various places where he goes. It says josephlied.org. So we're going to talk about that in just a moment, right after Steve James tells us about the Edgewater Hotel.
When you think of Central Florida, you think of theme parks, golf courses, and, of course, the best resort hotels in America. Next time you think of Central Florida, think of the historic Edgewater Hotel in Winter Garden. This beautiful bed and breakfast originally opened in 1927 as one of the most advanced hotels of its day. Today, the hotel has undergone a historic restoration to provide guests with as much of the original 1927 ambiance as possible, while making modern comforts such as climate control and wireless internet available. From the antique fixtures to the original 1926 Otis elevator, the Edgewater is a bed and breakfast experience like none other. The Edgewater is ideal for intimate weddings, anniversaries, family reunions, retreats, and small conferences. And all of this at an affordable price. When you plan your next trip to Disney, Universal, or the Holy Land experience, book the Edgewater Hotel in Winter Garden. Book online now by logging on to adamsroadband.com and click on Edgewater Hotel. A Central Florida experience you'll never forget.
All right, we are back on The Next Step, and want to give you a program reminder about next week's show. I will not be here next week. I will be with Rob and these other hundreds of Christians in Bantay, Utah. And quite frankly, the town is so small that my cell phone doesn't work from there. So we won't be able to do a telephone show. But Michael will be in in Salt Lake next Tuesday, I believe. So I think we're going to have Michael on doing the show, and he'll be flying solo for the first time next week. So be sure and tune in and catch that. We have on the phone with us our guest, Rob Savalka, who joins us from suburban Salt Lake City. And we've been talking about the Manti Miracle Pageant, where tens of thousands of Mormons gather in this small town right in the geographic center of the state of Utah. And they come over a period, I guess 75, 80,000, 100,000 over 8 nights there. And the Christians that are there probably last year, I guess we had 200 or 300, are going to be out in the streets witnessing Christ to these people who don't know the Jesus of the Bible. I think one of the interesting things, and I'll get Rob's take on this, is the fact that if you were to walk up to someone who was a Muslim, someone who was a believer in Islam, and you ask them about Jesus, they would tell you about the Jesus, or they call him Isa in the Quran, the Jesus that they know, which is not the Jesus of the Bible. Fast forward to Mormonism, and the Jesus of Mormonism is certainly not the Jesus of the Bible. My Jesus, my biblical Jesus, is an eternal being. He's coexistent with God the Father and the Holy Spirit as part of the triune God. And their Jesus was a created being. Also, the other thing that Rob was mentioning a moment ago was the fact that they are under this heavy thumb of having to be worthy. But we as Christians admit that we are not worthy. We have no worthiness within us. The only goodness that we have within us is that which Christ purchased for us on the cross. So I want to talk to Rob a little bit about the sign that he holds up. He says he was in Mesa, Arizona recently at their Easter pageant, the Mormons Easter pageant down there, and he's seen in various places throughout the Mountain West holding up a sign that said josephlied.org. So if a Mormon josephlied.com. So if a Mormon walks up to you and sees that sign and says to you, "Well, what did Joseph lie about?" What would you say?
Yeah, I get that quite a bit, actually, and that's one of the reasons why I carry that sign, is to get into conversations like that. So I'll just immediately go right into the nature of God, and I say, "Hey, Joseph Smith lied about who God was. You guys have devalued God by making him into a man like you and I. He's a dependent being who needed all this stuff before he could even become a God for us. And that's just not what the Bible teaches. Joseph Smith lied about his polygamy, for example. He hid polygamy for years until he got a revelation that Emma was to accept these other women. And if she, Emma was his first wife, and if she didn't go along with it, well, she'd be damned. And Joseph Smith married 14 and 16-year-old girls. He married 11 women who were currently married to other men when he took them as wives. And so, of course, he was doing a lot of lying back then. He lied about the scriptures that he came out with. One of the scriptures is the Book of Abraham, for example. I'll tell Mormons about this. And Joseph Smith got these papyri, these Egyptian papyri, from a traveling mummy salesman. And he said, what do you know? He started translating this. It turns out to be none other than the work of Abraham himself, the character in the Bible. And so he started translating this and came up with this book called The Book of Abraham, which is part of the Pearl of Great Price, one of the books of Mormon scripture. Well, Egyptologists have gotten a hold of this these papyri, and they have determined that Joseph Smith didn't have a clue what he was doing when he translated this. He obviously lied about this. So Joseph Smith lied about the Book of Mormon being the Word of God when he translated the Book of Mormon by sticking a stone in this hat. He covered his face with this hat, and then he began to, through inspiration of the Lord, translate what were on these gold plates that the angel Moroni shared with him in upstate New York back in 1827. And he totally lied about this. This was the same way that he told people how to find buried treasure. He'd stick a stone in his hat, and he'd say, oh, yeah, the treasure's over here. They'd start digging. Oh, some spirit who's guarding it is pushing it further down. You got to keep digging more. And he would just lie about this. He actually got busted, and there was a court document that we have in which Joseph Smith was fined, I believe it was $2.68, for what's called peepstone gazing. Well, years later, Joseph Smith just turned this into a translation process for the Book of Mormon, which has no archaeological evidence to substantiate it whatsoever for the New World. Yeah, it's got Jerusalem mentioned in the Red Sea for the Old World, but when it comes to the New World, you don't have any city, country, person that's ever been substantiated in this New World. And it's all made up. It's a big fairy tale in which you slap some Christian terms on it, and then you tweak it to have this religious pyramid scheme going on, and that's basically Mormonism.
Okay, well, listen, Rob, we're just about all out of time. Before we go, though, I want to know how they can get a hold of you and your ministry, and how they can give a love offering into your ministry and support you.
Yeah, just go to mormoninfo.org, or you can also reach it by going to josephlie.com. It's the same, it'll take you to the same place. And you can go to the invest page right there. And please, we would love to have you join our team and partner with us. We not only need your financial gifts, we need you to pray for us, that God will protect us while we minister in such a dark area here.
Okay.
So please, continue to pray for us, and we look forward to partnering with you.
We're going to have to run, but thank you, Rob, for being with us. And we want to say one last thing before we go. We're going to be in Manti, the Next Step team, and we want your prayers. Just if you can't do anything else, just get down on your knees and pray that God will bring us fruit in this endeavor.
Thanks for listening to The Next Step. For more information, log on to exmormonchristiansunited.com. or nextstepoutreach.org. And join us again next Tuesday at 3 p.m. for The Next Step.